For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Hey, everybody. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to Beekeeping for Newbies. Thank you so very much for taking the time to listen. I do appreciate you. And as always, feel free to reach out to Jeff at beekeepingfornewbies.com. That's N-E-W-B-E-E-S.com. I hope all my beautiful bee people out there are doing well and that things are going exceptionally amazing for you and that you're getting pumped up about the upcoming bee season and that your bees have not been victimized by the 2024 to 2025 winter death syndrome. Of course, there's all kinds of different things that we can talk about with that. We did cover that briefly, I think, back in episode 131, and we'll probably be revisiting it again here in the coming weeks just to keep everybody updated on things. But today we're talking about package bees and nucleus colonies. And what I really wanted to start with was, hey, let's just talk about what it takes to get these things installed when you are setting things up at the beginning of a new season. Might be your first season, second season. You know, you're still not 100%. I mean, this is the kind of thing where you don't do it every day. You know, you install package bees. If you did it every year, it's literally like, you know, once a year kind of thing you do, right? So you kind of want to refresh your memory a little bit, make sure that you're not forgetting some of the little simple things that can make it a little bit of an easier job for you. So what we're going to do is we're going to kind of dive a little bit deeper on this. We're going to go through what is a package, what is a nucleus colony. What are some of the different configurations that you might see in the nukes? Because if I say, you know, a nuke, in my mind, I default to a 5-frame nuke. There is, I think I saw a place a year or two ago that was selling an 8-frame nuke. But I mean, that's a hive, that's a colony. You know, I think once you break 5 frames, to me, you're just buying a colony. I don't know. It's, call it what you want. It doesn't matter. As long as we all know roughly what we're getting into when we buy a package versus buying a nuke. So we're going to go through and we're going to talk about what are they, which one might be the best fit for you, pros and cons of them. And at the end, I've put together a list of, it's just kind of, I went through a couple emails and looked through some notes I have, some of the common questions that I get around package bees and nukes. So we're going to go ahead and answer all those questions at the end, and hopefully that'll help kind of get you guys jump started. There will be a video forthcoming on this. What I'm going to do is I have a couple package bees on order. So I'm going to actually record me going over to the post office. If I can record the phone call, I will, because it's going to be really funny. Normally it goes like this. I'm like, hey, this is Jeff, when I answer the phone. And they say, hey, Jeff, this is, you know, Mike Smith over at the local U.S. Postal Service place. And I'm like, hey, Mike Smith, what's up? And he's like, hey, we've got some bees here and you need to come and get them. Like, they do not want them to be around. And it's so, I get it. Like, I get it if you don't know anything about bees and you get scared, you're afraid of them. But I mean, every year, there's never a year where they call and they're all calm and chill. And they're just like, yeah, man, your bees are here. Come get them when you're ready. Oh no, it's always this urgent, like, oh, for the love of God, please get these things out of my building immediately. So that's always a fun call. So if I can plan ahead for it, I will try to record that call, and you can just kind of see the fear or hear the fear in their voice as we prepare to pick them up. But if I can, I'll still grab the camera and try and see if I can get a video of me picking them up. I really would love the idea of being able to take a quick video. Hey, here's what it looks like online. This is probably what you're going to need to choose for your options. Here's me going to pick them up. Here's how I'm getting them home. Here's where I'm putting them the day before I install them. And kind of walk through the whole thing. We'll see what time permits and how the weather is and what other things are going on, but we'll try to get to that. All right, so let's jump in and get to work here. We're going to start with the package bees. So package bees, I've almost always exclusively seen them as 3-pound packages. So essentially, you know, if you were to physically weigh the bees in a group or cluster, you know, it's about 3 pounds. That also includes a caged queen. Now, I have seen sold separately a package of bees without the queen. So maybe you had a colony that overwintered, but they just barely made it and they just need a bit of a boost. You can buy bees by themselves. I've never done that, but I can see where it would make sense. I think if I were going to go that route, I would probably just go to a local beekeeper versus shipping them, but whatever works for you. You have no drawn comb. You have no brood. The only thing you're going to get in this package, and I'm trying to, you know, if you saw a video of me right now, I'm here with my hands because I can't talk without my hands, but it's probably about a 4 or 5 inch wide package that is about a foot, maybe 16 inches long. And then it's about 6 or 8 inches high, probably more towards the 8 inch high. And it's just completely surrounded by a screen. Now on the top, there's going to be a piece of wood that's probably about 4 to 5 inches square. And then under that square is going to be the syrup. And then around that area is the queen. We're going to dive a little deeper into that in a minute. I'm diving a little too deep a little bit earlier, kind of ahead of myself. So the other option we talk about in the spring are nucleus colonies. So this is a, you know, in contrast to the package of bees that's just bees in a package, the nuc or nucleus colony, it is a small, fully functional colony. You've got drawn comb, brood, nectar, honey, laying queen, should be lots of capped brood. I mean, this is basically like a little ticking time bomb ready to explode in a good way. So as you just heard me mention, of course, the fact that they're not coming in a hive box. So the nucleus colony gets a really big boost early on. They've already got drawn comb. They already have everything that they need to get started. Whereas your package of bees, yes, you're going to save a few dollars buying packages versus buying a nucleus colony. Yes, they can ship to you, whereas nucleus colonies, I don't think I've ever seen a nuc shipped. I think they always have to be picked up locally. But as I've told people many times before, the nuc is worth the drive to me. But we'll dive into that a little bit more as we go through. So let me go back and pick up where I left off on the package bees, and then we'll kind of go through some pros and cons. Underneath that 4x4 square, you're going to use a hive tool and you'll just pop that square off. And again, this will be documented in a video later on, so don't worry about trying to take notes today. And below that, there's going to be a metal can, just like you would see, you know, like a can of soup or a can of, you know, canned peaches or whatever it might be. It looks just like that. And what you'll do is use your hive tool to kind of wedge into that, and you'll pull that can out. And below that can is now full access to the inside of that package. The can has holes in the bottom of it, and those holes are allowing sugar syrup, which is inside the can, to be drank and consumed out through the bottom by the bees to give them a food source to keep them alive while they are in transit. Now, I actually save that, and I open it up, and I put it into a feeder for them when I get everything established, but we can talk about that down the road. But once you pull that can out, you will then have access to the queen. The queen cage, she'll be in a cage, and there is a strap connected to the queen cage. And that strap is actually coming out and around the can that's sitting there. So you pull the can out, you can then pull the queen cage out, and you can put the can back in if you want to, or you can just put the regular lid on top, put the can to the side. We'll walk through all of those steps completely separate to this, but that's how you're going to get your queen out. You'll get her out first, get her placed into a safe area where you can do what you got to do, and then you can complete your install. Again, we'll dive deeper on that later. But that is the package. You have package, usually around 3 pounds, bunch of bees. They should ideally have a mix of bees. Now, if it were my choice, I would want just nothing but nurse bees. But the reality is they're probably going to give you a few drones in there. They're, you know, you're going to have some older foragers in there. But the younger the bees that are in there, the better, because you're going to need them. And again, we'll dive deeper into some of that later on. But again, widely available. You can definitely get them in the spring, easily shipped, put them into any kind of hive equipment. You can install packages into nucs, which I love to do. You give them less space to defend, less space to have to heat, because you do still have some cooler nights in the spring. And if they don't have to heat or maintain the temperature in an 8 or 10 frame box, you know, doing it in a 4 or 5 frame box is not a bad way to go. You could even put them into a 2 frame nuc if you wanted to. There's a lot of reasons why you got to keep a real close eye on them, but you could definitely do that. Now, the nucleus colony, and this is the way that I really advise for anybody. Because let's do a quick comparison. Let's say you have a five-frame nuke. Now, what that's going to consist of, and again, it's kind of a moving target. Like, there's not really a hard, fast rule for what it has to have. But I'll tell you what I'd like to see. I definitely want to see at least two, preferably three frames of brood. Ideally, you'd have two of them capped, and maybe one of them is either capped or open. That kind of doesn't matter to me. But I like the idea of having one of them with some open brood. That way, if in the unlikely event of anything moving around while taking the nucleus colony from the provider I purchased it from and bringing it to my house, if anything during that time or the first inspection or whatever might go on, I want to make sure that I've got open brood to where they can make a new queen if something catastrophic happened to my queen on the first inspection or whatever. It would be nice to have some open brood for that purpose really alone. Outside of that, all capped brood is completely fine with me. So I want three of the frames as what I would call brood frames. Another frame, you know, the other two frames can be all honey. It can be one honey frame and a pollen frame, a mix of whatever. I don't really care. As long as I've got a good honey frame and, you know, two to three good brood frames, I'm not going to complain. But what you're getting is five frames of drawn comb ready to go. Now, you do need to be kind of aggressive with this, right? You need to stay on top of things because if you take that nuke, set it down in your yard, you can absolutely do that. You can be like, wow, cool, got my new nuke. Everything is going great in my world. And then you come back in a week and you're like, why do I have queen cells all over the place? So that will happen. They will swarm really quickly if you leave them in that box. Now, again, it's not going to be the kind of thing where you put them in the box in the yard on Saturday and you do an inspection next Wednesday or Thursday and you got queen cells all over the place. But you're going to have to be quick. They're going to be foraging. It's the springtime. A lot of resources are coming in. That queen is either already or about to run out of space. When there's not new brood going in, it's going to trigger that swarming instinct. But given the right amount of space, drop them into an 8 or 10 frame hive and just cut them loose. Now, let's just say, for example, 4 weeks later, you'd put them into, an 8 frame deep. And if that queen, let's just easy math, she's laying 1,000 eggs a day. So 4 weeks later, that's 40,000 eggs, right? I mean, that's it. That's all the bees that you'll need for that season to basically fully ramp up and probably, I mean, obviously you're going to need some more to cover bees that are dying off from attrition and everything. But within a month, that colony is completely ramped up. Now go over to the regular package bees. The first egg that is laid is probably 3 to 5, 7 days out. They have to draw all the comb manually. Now, this is where it kind of a cool idea. If you want to go ahead and pre-buy some drawn comb, there's a company, I can't remember the name of them, but you can just search for, you know, pre-drawn wax foundation, something like that. And you can buy drawn comb that you can drop in with the bee. If you want to get that, that will jumpstart them. Because the bees will go in, the workers will go in, and they will clean up the cells and make sure everything is the way it needs to be. And that queen will follow right behind them and start laying things up. And, you know, probably within 23, 24 days of when you installed them, you'll start getting new workers. So that's going to be really helpful to replace everybody else. But you're going to have this period of time where the bees you get in the package are the only new bees you're going to see for almost a month. So you're going to install this package. Let's say you get your packages on the 1st of April. At the very end of April, just call it the 1st of May, you're getting new bees now starting to replace the aging ones. Bees that go out and forage, you know, you're going to get, let's just say on average, around 10 days out of them. So as those workers start promoting from, you know, nurse bees to inside the hive tasks and then out to a forager, they go forage, they're out there for 8-10 days, and they're dead. And there is so much nectar, there's so much pollen, there's so much to be retrieved and gathered, and you're losing resources every day. So that's a period of vulnerability for this new hive. Now, the good news is robbing shouldn't be a big issue at this time of year because resources are abundant. Robbing is risky behavior. The bees don't want to go into any level of risk or enter into any risk that they don't have to. So they're going to focus on all the free good stuff that's out there before they start trying to rob, typically. But those packages of bees are really tough. Now, the one thing on the nuke side that, you know, I went through some of the pros and some of the things that are really great about it. On the cons to it, it is a bit more expensive. Now, it used to be about $150 for a nuke and about $100 or $125 for packages. Now you're looking at $125, $150 for packages and between $2 and $275 for nukes. It is getting a little ridiculous, folks. I don't even know what to say about that. In fact, I've got a ton of notes. Maybe today or tomorrow I'll do this recording. It's going to happen this week, or I'm just quitting altogether because it's been on my list forever. I've got the thumbnail for the YouTube video. I just need to sit down and do this video about how expensive beekeeping is. Everything is ready. I just need to sit down and press the record button. So I'll do that in the next couple of days. But it is so costly to do this, and it's getting more and more expensive, which is really nice if everybody can be looking towards the future of when you have a self-sustaining apiary. And I'm not talking about that you have to be a commercial person or what they would call like a sideliner where you're trying to necessarily make money off of your bees. But if you can maintain like 5 to 8 colonies, you'll never need to buy bees again. You can constantly, every season you can make new nukes. You can replace losses. You can breed your own queens. You can just always have a queen available in a nuke that's actively laying and making brood frames to support your production colonies. And then if there's a catastrophic issue with your queen, you just give her the queen, give the colony the queen from the nuke and you're back in business. But anyway, back to what we were talking about, because as you know, I like to go off on lots of tangents. The nuke is definitely more expensive than the packages. It's well worth it to me, especially in an area like mine. Going with the example I gave with April, one April I get my packages installed, and we're going to do this. I think I got two packages coming on April, I think it's like April 3rd or 4th, something like that. So I'm going to get my packages installed. 1 May, they'll start seeing some of their, first rounds of brood being born, emerging. And then we have about 5 weeks for them to fully ramp up and be a colony that is ready to overwinter, basically with a small fall flow. That's it. By early to mid-June, the dearth is here. There's no flow. There's nothing available. And if you're kind of tracking things and doing a little bit of mental math, you realize that the chance of that colony surviving without my intervention is about like 3%. I think it's definitely like single-digit percentage likelihood of survival because they just don't have the time and the resources. The fall float is okay. It's not super strong here. If I move them down to the apiary, it would definitely be better for them. But I really don't want to do that because I'm mostly at the house right now and I'm not maintaining my hives there, a whole separate thing. But this is one of those situations, like I've talked about, when feeding is kind of almost mandatory. Now, what I do is when I install a package of bees, I go ahead and put a feeder in there with them. I will use, it doesn't matter, pick your, choose your own adventure for whatever type of feeder that you like. But I'll typically drop a frame feeder in if it's a package of bees. If it's a nuke, I might use a top feeder or a jar feeder. There's a ton of different options, whatever works for you. Just give them some feed as packages, even if you put the package into a nuke box. You still want to make sure you're giving them some kind of feed. And here is why this happened to me once, and I won't let it happen again. I installed packages, I don't remember the day of the week. It was like, let's just say it was Saturday. I installed packages on a Saturday and it rained like Sunday, Monday, and I don't know, maybe some of the next day. We had a couple of days of rain. All they had in there was that little bit of syrup that I had taken from the can that they were shipped in, and a bunch of them died. And I did ultimately nurse them back to health and fed them pretty aggressively and got them back on track. But that is the exact reason why you have to feed those packages, because they have no stored resources at all. You're putting them into the box, throw some feed in there with it, preferably like, I was just doing 2-to-1 sugar syrup mix. 2-to-1 is what I do year round all the time. A lot of people are like, oh, do 1-to-1. It stimulates comb building. Well, you have to build comb regardless, right? Regardless of what kind of nectar they're bringing in, they still have to draw a comb, whether it's 2-to-1, 1-to-1, whatever. I'm trying to give them more bang for the buck as far as the number of carbs per milliliter or whatever you want to call it, whatever your unit of measure might be. So sugar syrup to me inside the hive is a must for package bees. I'm going to do a quick walkthrough on the installation of these. Again, we'll have it in video later on, but we'll do just a quick walkthrough so you know what's going on. You got your packages. Now, what I do is when I pick them up, I bring them home. I usually put mine in the garage because at that time of year, the overnight temperature in the garage is somewhere like around 60, 65, something like that. They're clustered in their package. It's fine. And if it is colder for some reason, I have a separate room that is a, kind of like a mechanical room that's climate controlled. Put them in there to be 70 degrees overnight, no problem. Just put them in a cool, dark place where they can be left alone. Now, while they're relaxing and doing their thing, go out, find your place in the yard. I just put a video up on YouTube a couple days ago. It's just a really quick, hey, here's how I did some things the other day in my yard. I think it's a 3-minute video. Average watch time is 1 minute. This is my favorite thing about YouTube. I can do a 20-minute video. Average watch time, 5 minutes. I'm like, all right, I'll hack the system. 3-minute video, average watch time, 1 minute and 5 seconds. Anyway, I did a 3-minute video on putting, you know, a couple of different stands that I use in my yard that I like. And the video also talks about, like, here's me kind of scouting my yard. Here's the direction I want them to face. And here's my road is kind of this direction to that direction. And this is why I put them here. So check out that video. You can kind of get an idea of what I like to do. But get your hive prepped. Get the physical, you know, hive, wherever you're going to put it, get that in place. I usually will open up, let's just say it's a 10-frame Langstroth hive. I'll remove the 3 frames in the middle to give me some space to work with. And then I'll set them off the side, use a hive rack, put them into a separate hive body, you know, in a cart. Having a little cart around, you know, the apiary with you is really helpful, just so you're not putting things on the ground if you don't have to. But you can get a small tarp, piece of plastic, you know, just a piece of wood, like a 3x3 or 1 meter by 1 meter piece of plywood, and just throw it down and put stuff on top of that. Just so you're not putting things into the grass and the leaves and everything else. And the other thing I do is go to your local hardware store. Go to, you know, Walmart, Home Depot, Lowe's, Canadian Tire, like wherever you like to go, Menards. Get a regular spray bottle. Now, don't get the cheapest one they have, because a lot of times the cheapest ones they have will have like really narrow dispensing holes. You want to get like a decent one, but don't spend more than like $2 or $3. And you're going to put some sugar syrup in this. Now, this is an area where I would probably go a little lighter, like a 1-to-1. It's because a 2-to-1 is really thick, but a 1-to-1 would be ideal for this. Mix up some sugar syrup in that container. You don't need a whole lot. You can always fill the thing up, use it, and then put the rest into the feeder. But what you want to do is when you're ready, you're like, okay, now we're going to do this. You go out there to the bee yard. You've got your package in your hand. You've got all your protective gear ready to go. You don't necessarily need to gear up yet. In fact, quite honestly, I've installed package bees wearing shorts and a t-shirt before with no protective gear. And I've only been stung a couple of times. But, you know, the right thing to do just to be safe, you don't necessarily know the temperament of the bees. You want to have your gear on for all the reasons we've talked about a million times. Just be safe. But what I do is once everything is ready, I take that spray gun of sugar syrup and I just spray liberally on all sides of it. And I completely coat the bees in this sugary syrup. What that's going to do is, one, they're going to be like, oh, cool, I get a free snack. So they're going to start grooming and start trying to get all this sugary, sticky stuff off themselves. But it's also going to make it much more difficult for them to fly. And if they can't fly, they're less likely to bounce off your forehead and sting you on the lip or any other kind of things they might do. Now, you don't have to do this. You can just walk up, open it up, throw the bees in, and you're kind of going to be okay. But this, to me, is just such a more gentle and easy way to do this. I've done it a million times, and it works really, really well. So you're spraying the bees down with all that sugar, and you can do it multiple times. You don't have to do it just once. You spray them down really well, and then you're going to go ahead and take the whole container in your hand. And what I don't do this yet, but you want to be prepared for this, where you're going to hold it and you're just going to pop it straight down to the ground. Boom. And what that does is all the workers that are now up on the sides will fall down to the bottom of the cage. You can go ahead and do this now if you want. Sometimes I get a little agitated with it. But if you do it once, now you've already got that top popped off and you just pull the can out, pull the queen cage out, and then put the wooden lid back on top. So now the wooden lid is keeping all the bees in. You've got the can on the outside. There might be a couple of bees there, but that's okay. Just, you know, put the can to the side. You can work with it later. But that queen cage is what you want. Now, what I do with the queen cage in my little kit of beekeeping gear, I always have a nail with me. And what I do with this nail is there's two ends of your queen cage. One end is going to have a big block of a fondant, basically. It's like a sugar candy. And the other end is just going to have a piece of cork. You don't want to mess with the cork end. The cork end is designed to basically install the queen, and then they cork it closed, and that's it. The candy side is designed for her to be installed into the colony or into the new hive, and for the workers to eat the sugar around that space and gradually be getting used to and adjusted to her queen pheromone and her scent. And then by the time they chew through all the candy, everybody's happy and accepting of each other, she emerges from the cage and she gets to work. What I do with that nail is, even though you have the candy on the one side blocking things, they usually have a piece of cork over that as well. So you want to make sure you remove that cork so that you're looking through the hole and you just see the sugar candy. I take the nail and I push it into that candy just enough to make a hole that goes all the way through. So if I'm a worker and I'm going through to eat that, I can actually look through the hole and I can see to where the queen is. This probably shaves about a day off the amount of time that they need to get in there and get her extracted from the cage. That's just something I do. I've never had any issues with it. Like I said, I want to get her laying as soon as possible. If I can save a day, that's great. So now I've done that part, right? She's going to have a couple of attendants with her and the cage is all ready to go. Before you even do the install, if you want to, you can go ahead and take one of those outer cages, one of those outer frames that you've pulled out to set aside to make room for the installation. You can take whatever's going to be your middle one and you can take the strap that they stapled to the queen cage and then ultimately to the top of the package. You can just take that strap still connected to the queen cage, set it down on the top of the frame and just staple it back down there if you'd like. If you don't have a stapler with you, what you can do is hold the queen till the end, get the packages completely installed, put the frames back in, and then you can just squeeze a couple of frames up against the queen cage. And there will be enough friction there to where it'll just hold the cage in place. It only has to hold it for a couple of days till she emerges. That's another way that you can do it. You can also, at that point, if you wanted to, you could set the queen down on the back bottom somewhere and just make sure that that opening is facing out. But I usually just, if you can just staple it or tack it in place at the top, that's what I've done for a really long time. So again, basic stapler, small nail, you know, whatever works for you. The reason that I like having it at the frame on the very top is that you can open the outer cover, open the inner cover, and then you can just pull, you know, straight up on that and see that she's emerged. And then, you know, just makes it a little bit easier. But again, find a system that works for you. We'll cover this all in the video later, so it'll be a little bit easier to understand and have a visual on it. So now that you've got the queen squared away, let's say that you stapled to the top of the frame, the cage itself is dangling down into the regular frame area. Now it's time to install the bees. So let's just say that you have four frames on the left, three on the right, 10 frame Langstroth, the three in the middle are completely open. You've got your package of bees. The little wooden lid is over top. The can is out. Everything's ready to go. Take your sprayer, spray liberally all around those bees. Get them nice and coated in sugar syrup. Hold that wooden piece on the top so it doesn't fly off. Grab the whole package and slam it down against the ground. All the bees fall down. As soon as they all fall to the inside, you walk up, flip that thing upside down. Well, you remove the lid, remove the wooden lid, flip it upside down, and then go front to back, continuously shaking all of the bees into the hive body. You don't necessarily have to get every single one of them. You're going to give a good shake. There's probably going to be a handful of dead bees in there. The rule with the packages of bees is if there's more than an inch of dead bees at the bottom when you get it, you shouldn't even sign for them. Don't accept them from USPS or whoever delivers them. Deny, cancel, whatever you got to do. Call the provider and say, hey, listen, your bees got here. There's 2 inches of dead bees on the bottom. I'm not taking them. If you refuse that order, the shipment is covered by insurance. That's a deal you can work out with the people, but they all have something like that in place. Shake the dead bees in there with them. It doesn't matter. They'll get rid of all the trash and the junk. But once you've gotten a decent amount of them out, you're going to have some stragglers. Don't spend all day messing with that. Just set the package right in front of the hive, right near the entrance. They'll fly up, walk up, they'll find their way. You can always come back that night when it gets dark, or the next morning, or 2 days later, and get rid of the package. So once everything is, all the bees are installed, the package is sitting out front, you want to put your frames back in. Now you've got a big cluster of bees sitting in the middle, so you don't want to throw the frames in and start pushing down. You can set the frames in, and you'll watch them gradually move down as the bees move out of the way under the weight of the frame. That's perfectly safe. There's no, you know, risk or harm or anything that can come to the bees from that. You just place the frame in and watch it gradually go down until they all move out of the way. Once all your frames are reinstalled, you've got the queen inside. She's in the queen cage. Go ahead, put your inner cover. Well, of course, you put your feeder in there if you're using a feeder. Inner cover, outer cover. And then for the entrance, I want you to go to that 3/4 inch to a 1 inch entrance. You will not need an entrance larger than that, probably for that first season, basically. You're never going to have enough bees in there where it's going to be that big of an issue. Yes, you will ramp up probably by May or June. If you're in an area that has a long, consistent, and steady flow, you can absolutely consider opening that up to the 2 to 2.5 inch size, you know, once the colony really ramps up. But for the next 60 days, probably keep that 3/4 to 1 inch kind of entrance. Leave it at that. That'll be plenty of space for them to do what they got to do. Okay, so shifting over to a nuke and installing a nuke and how you do it, it's basically a piece of cake. All you are doing is going up to a brand new box. If you, let's say you're using an 8-frame Langstroth. Well, your nuke has 5 frames. Simple math tells you you need to leave 3 frames behind. Ideally, if you have drawn comb, use drawn comb. If you don't, use wax foundation. If you don't have wax foundation, then use plastic. Whatever you have, use it. Now, quick sidebar, if you're using some of those things that are not wax foundation, sometimes just spraying it in some of that surplus sugar syrup that you have will draw the bees to it and may potentially help with getting them to draw those out. Getting them to draw on plastic is just not the easiest thing in the world. We probably need to have a separate discussion around prepping your frames. And what I used to do is I would have like a, you see people have like a wax melter where they take all their spare wax and they put it into this wax melter out in the sun. It melts the wax down and they can use it for various things. Think of that concept, but in an old pan. Like, go to the local Salvation Army, Goodwill, wherever. Find an old pot, because you go into Mama's kitchen and take one of her pots and you start melting wax with it in your yard for the bees. I don't want to be around that, man. You don't want to get into that whole thing. So just keep yourself out of trouble. Get a cheap one from the thrift store. And then use your outside burner that you use for, you know, deep fried turkeys or whatever. You can melt some wax in there. I bought a pack of like, I don't know, 30. I think it was 30 brushes from Harbor Freight for like $5 or $6. Take that 30 pack, melt it down, grab one of those brushes, just brush the frames. I put a nice good coat on both sides of the frames. I do them all in one day. And if you really have a lot, you can melt it up and you can do a roller. I haven't done the roller. I just do the brushes. It works for me. But again, find a system that works for you. Pre-wax those if you can. That always helps. But for the nuke, you have the 8-frame example we just gave you. You're pulling 3 frames out. You have 3 frames that you're going to need to put in there with it. So let's say that you have the box sitting there completely empty. You take the nuke. I will put 1 empty frame right smack in the middle. You know, that way they start drawing out that comb. So I'm going to put 1 wax foundation frame in the middle in position 4 or 5. I'm going to surround that with the nuke. So put a brood frame on both sides of that and then push my honey frames towards the outside there. But if you want to, what you can kind of do that's nice is if you already have 2 honey frames, you can push those out a little bit to make it more like it will be at when they fully develop everything, when they start to really grow. You could go ahead and pre-position it in that way, but then you have a lot of empty space and gaps in between things. So let's just say a quick example here. You have 8 frames. If frames 1 and 8 are honey, and then you have 3, 4, 5, and 6, those 4 frames in the middle, you had brood, brood, blank foundation, and then another brood frame. So on each end of those active frames, you're going to have a blank frame. You're not going to have anything there. So my recommendation is to just push the blanks to the edge for now. Keep everything contiguous and together. allow the bees to have immediate and direct access to all the resources they want to raise new brood, and as they fill out a brood frame, push it one left or right and bring one of those outer frames to the inside. Give it another week or so for them to draw that out and start using it. Push to the outside again and bring an outside one in. Within 2 weeks, all the comb is drawn and you're moving on to another super or another deep hive body, depending on how your configuration is set up. But a nuke installation is really as simple as moving it from box A to box B. What you can also do is if you've got a nice nuke box, let's say you brought it home in one of those little cardboard boxes, you can just move it right into a nuke from there and then put a nuke box on top of that. I've got an image somewhere I can show you guys, but it's like 4 or 5 frame nukes stacked on top of each other. And I had one nuke there. I just added another one. And it was working great. Very productive colony. And they were moving too fast, though. They will fill those things up pretty quickly. But like I said, nukes are super simple to set up.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
So what are you going to check? Now, you don't have to worry about, like, from a monitoring and checking and making sure things are going okay kind of perspective. You don't have to do a whole lot with the nuke because they've already got a queen. They've already accepted her. She's already working. Things are going well. What you do need to do is, again, to continue to give her space, continue to monitor things. That colony, that nuke is going to explode. I mean, they are loaded with lots of new emerging brood. You're going to have workers coming out all over the place, lots of young nurse bees. They are ready to raise brood. That queen's going to be in full, laying mode. So you really got to stay on top of things. And you always want to keep in mind, people space and bee space are two different things. You can look in there and say, I have a 10 frame deep. I put a 5 frame nuke in it. I put another deep box on top of that with 10 frames available. They've got 15 total frames available. Why am I seeing queen cells? This is a discussion we have all the time because you see the space. They do not. So we'll talk more about that on a separate discussion. We've talked about it many times before, but I struggle to keep myself on task, and I can easily do a 10-minute tangent on this. Okay, I'm going to let myself go on a tangent for just a second. When the bees are in their space, they don't always recognize a space above, left, right, and above as expansion space. That's why we did that thing I just explained about breaking up the brood area in the middle by adding a frame of, wax foundation. They know that brood's supposed to be there. They're like, whoa, we need to do something with this, and they'll draw it up. Just like when we have a box above the brood that they're not going into, we take a frame of brood with lots of nurse bees on it, move it up into the middle, drop a frame of blank foundation where it just came from, and now the bees start working up top. But you have to stay on top of that because you can say, oh, okay, cool, they've got 15 available frames. I don't have to do anything. I'm going to go on vacation for 2 weeks, and we'll see them when I come back. No. They can absolutely make swarm cells and leave. And they've got, 4 times what they're using in expansion space. So as a nucleus colony, you want to be paying attention and checking that and just verifying that they are using the new space. From the package bees side, you want to make sure that that queen, I like to check them about 3 or 4 days in. So I check and say, okay, the queen cage is there. Queen is out. Great. That's all I do. Like, I open up the box. Let's say I put them in on a Saturday or Sunday, Tuesday or Wednesday, probably more like Wednesday or Thursday. I open up the top. I just grab that little queen cage, little strap that's hooked to it, pull it straight out, look at it. She's not there. I pop it off the top. If there's any bees on it, give a little bit of a shake. They go off, inner cover, outer cover. I walk away. I give them a full week to get settled in. When you do that inspection at the end of a week, you should see comb being drawn up. You should see eggs in that new comb, and that will help you know that things are moving along. That's a good time to assess your feeder. Are they taking up the sugar syrup you're giving them? Do you need to give them more? More likely than not, they're not going to go through, like, let's say you had a single frame. I think it's like 1 gallon or whatever is in a frame feeder. They're probably not going to go through that in 3 or 4 days, but they might go through it in a week. So it wouldn't hurt to, you know, if you get to the point where it's a weekend, maybe you drain out the old and then replace it with some fresh new, or if they've drank it all, fill it back up and check a little bit earlier next time. But definitely keep that sugar syrup flowing until that colony gets a chance to establish itself. Now, again, like I mentioned before with the entrances, apply this to both the, really, even the nukes. I mean, let that colony really ramp up and fill up an entire hive body, fill up a full deep, or, you know, whether it's 8 or 10 frame, let them really fill out. You don't have to open up that entrance very large. Most bees in the wild, they will propolize everything shut to like about 1.5 inches or so. And you just don't need a lot of space for them to get in and out. The more space that is open, the more they have to defend. The bees that are in defensive mode, that's one of the least, you know, least staffed positions in the hive. They just don't devote a lot of energy to that. And you don't want to give them too much to defend. People always think like, oh, I want to have it wide open so they can get maximum number of bees in and out. And then they forget to close things back up towards the end of the season. Then it gets into robbing season. And then it makes it really easy for everything to steal everything from them. If you set it at the 3/4 inch to 1 inch, you know, 10 months out of the year, and then went to 2 inches during that really busy time, you'd be totally fine. Now, you may have issues depending on how warm your area is and maximizing airflow. If that's the case, use number 8 hardware cloth as your entrance reducer. So you can put a strip of that all the way across the front, cut a couple of slits in it, and then you can lift up a slit to add more space. If you need to restrict it, you close it back down and drop a staple in it, and it closes that area back up. But pay attention for that when you're doing your inspections. Look around inside. Always be paying attention for disease, the presence of any pests. If you see a single small hive beetle, try to kill it and try to get the traps in there right away. Whether you're using entrance traps or the small hive beetle, the SHB traps that have the bait in them, or, you know, do something. Be aggressive with those things. Stay on top of that. Make sure the queen is laying. And again, the general rule, like on a 10-frame system, is when they hit to about 70% utilization, that's when you want to give them more space. But remember, like I said before, about how the bees are recognizing space, give them the space, but also give them space inside the brood chamber. Give them space in the middle, not necessarily on the edges, and you'll find that they will use that better. Now, we'll get into future episodes and other discussions around swarm management and swarm prevention. Somebody had messaged me about the Damari method of splitting but not splitting. They call it the Damari split, but you don't actually split. But I think it's worth talking about. It is an option in my mind. I don't do it because I don't personally need to do it, but I can see where some people might like it. So we are going to talk about it to give you, you know, give it to you as information for an option that you could deploy. So we'll cover that in some of our swarm prevention and swarm management discussions throughout the spring here. All right, I'm going to dive into some quick Q&A. So question number 1, do I need to feed the new colony with a supplemental feed? So we've already talked about that. Nukes, I don't, but package bees, I definitely do. How long before my package bees start making honey? I never take from first-year colonies. I don't take honey from first-year colony. Whether it's a package bee or a nuke, doesn't matter to me. I don't take honey. Here is something that you have to figure out. You can ask everybody in your bee club, all your local friends, everybody and their brother. You can ask them over and over again, hey, how much honey do my bees need to make it through the winter? It still is always going to be the answer of that depends, because your race of bees and the behavior of your bees and the genetics of your bees are going to be different from your friend and neighbor and people in the bee club. Now, they're probably going to give you a pretty good idea. It's going to be very useful and helpful information, but you still have to see what your bees can do. So with the package bees, absolutely not. 0% chance I'm taking honey on package bees in year 1. For nukes, I think there are scenarios where you definitely can. It just depends on where you are in your nectar flow. But as a good rule of thumb, don't worry about honey extraction, investing in extraction equipment and bottling and all this other stuff. Just focus on being a decent beekeeper and keeping them alive. How do I know if my queen is accepted? Well, that's really easy. You look in the queen cage, and if she has been freed from the cage, that's a good first step. She didn't get, you know, attacked like through the cage. Now, it's always possible that they did allow her to come out and then they balled her. And when I say balling the queen, if you've never seen this, It's basically where a queen is, for whatever reason, the colony doesn't like her, and they will literally form a ball of bees, wrap her up, and kill her. So if you see that the cage is empty, or the queen is dead inside the cage, it's a separate scenario we can talk about in a minute, but the cage is empty, you look inside, you're looking for evidence of a laying queen, ideally some eggs, maybe some young larvae would be nice. If you can see her, bonus, it'd be nice to see her moving around, that would be great. Let's just say you do your first inspection at the end of a week. By the end of a week, she should be out. They should have some comb. It's not going to be a lot of comb. Look on that comb. She should be laying by then. There should be at least a couple of eggs there. If you don't see anything, don't worry too much. Wait another few days, maybe even a full week. Ideally, really, by the time you hit like 10, 12 days, they should have drawn enough comb and got it ready for her to be laying in. Now, if you get to the point where it's like 2 weeks in, this follows into the next question, what if my queen isn't laying? You get like 2 weeks in, you see a queen there, and that queen's not laying eggs. That's a problem, right? They're drawing comb. They're doing everything they can to prepare and get things ready for raising brood and young larvae and, you know, making bees, and she's not laying. Like, that's problematic. I would be immediately looking to replace that queen. In fact, this is why I always tell people to, you know, to try, if you can, to do things in pairs. So don't just get one colony to start with, get two colonies to start with. Because what you could actually do, and this wouldn't be ideal at that time of year, you'd be giving up a lot of time. But in an emergency, what you could do is you could pull, you know, some young eggs and larvae from your other colony, give it to this smaller colony, and let them make a queen cell. Or if that queen was just not failing, not performing, and you're just like, well, this is over, this isn't going to work, let her go. Take all the bees, combine them into your other package of bees, create one larger, stronger colony, and then as soon as they create a queen cell, you can then do a split later on from that if you wanted to. We can talk about that some more later on. Okay, I installed my package of bees, and the queen and her attendants were alive and well. I did my first inspection a few days later, and the queen was dead in the cage. What happened, and what do I do now? The only reason that I'm putting this question on there is because this happened to me, and I was kind of baffled by this. So I had a package of bees I got from Georgia. I, you know, had the package, saw the queen in there. Everything was fine. Went through the whole process I just explained to all of you a few minutes ago. And I did my inspection like 4 or 5 days later, pulled the queen cage out. The queen was dead in the package. And I had never seen this. I'm like, well, how does a queen just die in the package? So I call the supplier and I'm like, hey, man, we got a bit of a problem. Like, I don't know if your queen had cardiac arrest or had like an epileptic seizure or something. I don't know what happened, but like, she's just dead in the cage. I've never seen this. Like, what do you guys recommend? And they said, sometimes when they're making the packages, every now and then a queen just gets missed. And you'll end up with a package of bees that has a queen integrated with them in addition to the queen that's in the queen cage. So the queen can sting the other queen through the package if she can get to her. Or the workers, the attendants on the inside may say, wow, that queen out there, she has a really strong pheromone. I think I like her better. They can go ahead and kill her. So one way or another, the dominant queen, or the queen that's actively out and probably laying in a lot of those cases, she is not going to allow that queen to stay, and she probably just, you know, directed one of her hit women to take out the other one. So they said, yep, just go ahead and take the cage out, check again in 5 or 6 days. And sure enough, I checked again a few days later, eggs everywhere. Within a week, I had larvae, and she was working fine. So if you see that happen, don't lose all hope just yet. Do I need to treat for mites immediately? So this is actually really cool. If you have a package of bees, this is a really great opportunity for you to knock down mites early on. Now, I have not devised this yet, but it was something that I was thinking about the other day, where I would take a 5-gallon bucket or something and put a lid on and put a fixture on the lid where I can insert the end of my oxalic acid vaporizer. And then I could take the whole package, put it inside the bucket, close it up, and then vaporize them. And then do that as soon as I get them right away. and then get them installed. And then, you know, maybe after I do my first inspection and get the queen out, hit them with the second treatment, because the varroa mite likes to hang out in and reproduce inside the brood cells. Well, if there's no brood yet, there's nowhere for them to hang out other than on the bees. So if you can do a treatment and get that done right away, especially at a time where, let's say you like to use Apigard or Apivar strips or whatever it might be, you can put your strips in right away. And since there's no brood, there's nowhere for them to reproduce and hide, and you can start killing them right away. So I definitely recommend a early and aggressive treatment, whether it's a nuke or packages. But that is a true clear advantage to having packages. There's no brood that has any varroa potentially hanging out on the insides of them. Ideally, they wouldn't be sending you little varroa factories, you know, if you got a nuke. Hopefully they've taken care of that ahead of time. Should I install my bees in the morning or evening? I don't really have a preference on this. I tend to do most of my stuff in like the midday all the time when it comes to bees. I think a case can be made for doing it later in the day, like maybe around 4 or 5 o'clock. That way you get them installed and they can start establishing things. It gets dark, so they settle down a little bit earlier. That might be one position, but I think you can make the same position for why you might do it at 10 or 11 in the morning. You know, you go in, you get them installed, and it gives them a full day to get acquainted with things and check everything out. So I don't think there's a specific time that you should necessarily. If someone said to me, you have to pick one, I would say, like, say 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Let's just go with that. How do I prevent robbing when installing a new colony? Like I kind of mentioned earlier, we're adding new colonies at a time of year when there is typically a nectar flow. If there's not yet a nectar flow, most of the bees probably are still in the hive. It's probably just too cold. Once it starts getting warm enough for the bees to get outside, the nectar flow is usually close behind that. But like I mentioned, just keep the entrance small, and that's going to be about the best thing you can do. The 3/4 inch to 1 inch entrance. Robbing should not become an issue for at least the first month or two, as long as the colony is growing and you're keeping the entrance relatively small. And don't use those entrance feeders. I think they call them a Boardman feeder. It's basically just a flat piece of plastic that sticks into the hive, and it leverages, you know, the hive body to keep itself upright. And you put a little jar on it, and then the jar empties into the hive on that little platform, and they can drink directly from the edge. Those things attract wasps and yellow jackets and other things. I strongly discourage the use of entrance feeders. Can multiple packages be installed or nukes in the same yard? Absolutely not an issue. If you want to, you can put them on opposite sides of your yard. You can put them side by side. Whenever I'm putting things side by side, I generally like to change the direction though. So if I can put one, you know, if one's facing, let's say west, I'll have face one east. One's north, I'll face one south. Just giving them a little bit of a different direction so that they don't drift, you know, because drift is a common thing. If you have a, you know, piece like in that video I did the other day, you have a couple of 4x4s with some hives on that. If you have all of them in a row facing one direction, let's say you have 7 colonies, 7 hives out there, I guarantee you that the ones on the ends are going to have less bees than the ones in the middle. It's just going to happen that way. They're going to drift a little bit, and it's going to happen. Just stagger them every other one, one front, one back, one front, one back, and you should be fine with minimizing. There's always going to be some drift, but you can minimize it that way. You know, as far as reducing robbing, it's not a situation where you're like, okay, I'm going to put one here and I'm going to put one, you know, 10 miles away. If it's in the yard, the bees are going to find it. If it's 100 feet away, 200 feet away, 300 meters away, they're going to find it. So whether you have it a meter apart or whether you have them a mile apart, they're still going to find a way to track them down. What's the difference between a caged queen and an open release queen? This is actually a big difference because it's not just the fact that the queen is in the cage. It is what is the queen's status. You could have a virgin queen, you can have a mated queen, and you can have a laying queen. They are three very different things. A virgin queen, man, sometimes they just don't have enough pheromone and colonies just don't want them. Like lots of places will sell you a queen cell. You can get a queen cell for $5, unmated. If you can get the queen cell into a queenless colony, you're probably going to have a decent acceptance. You open release a... Now, again, a queenless colony really wants a queen. They are what they would call hopelessly queenless. There's no young, you know, young larvae they can use to make a new queen. They are hopelessly queenless, and they're like, virgin, we'll take her, right? It's better than nothing. But if you have a colony that just lost their queen, and you try to drop a virgin queen in there, they're probably not having that. So your next best thing is a mated queen. So what's the difference between a mated queen and a laying queen? A queen that is actively laying, and you can see the pictures, and I will try to capture this season for you guys. I have so much bee footage, and none of it is exactly what I want. It's all my legacy stuff that I just did for fun, and I wasn't targeting very specific things. I will do that this year, and I will get this for you. A virgin queen is just a slender little queen. It's almost kind of hard to tell that she's a queen. She's just, yes, she's queen-like, but really skinny. A laying queen has this big, beautiful abdomen. Like, she's just thick and hearty and just, you can just tell. She's thick and hefty. Like, she's a rather husky gal. But what happens is, as she is actively laying, her body increases in physical size. This is why when they're getting ready to swarm, what they'll do is they'll actually reduce their feeding of the queen to reduce her laying. And, you know, she shrinks up and makes it lighter for her to fly. Kind of a separate little fun fact for you. But when she is actively laying, she is larger and she's giving off a lot of queen pheromone. And that is exactly what they want. So if you have a queenless colony and you took the queen that I was just describing, you put her into a cage, you drive a half hour down the road to a friend's place who's, you know, got a queenless colony, you take her out, you can open release her into that colony. And I'm going to say that like 97 times out of 100, they're going to be like, oh, wow, you're awesome. Welcome to the colony here. Please establish yourself. Let us know what you need. They're going to welcome her with open arms. Put her in that cage, ship her to somebody who gets it 2 days later. That queen is like one step above a virgin queen. Yeah, she's mated and she can lay, but she's not actively laying. She's going to shrink back down. She's not going to have that as robust of a queen pheromone. So direct releasing a laying queen that is caged, totally fine. If you want to take a queen from a colony and go from one colony, take her out, go to the other colony, swap queens out, you should be able to do that. There are always scenarios where you can't. I always like to make them queenless for a good 24 to 48 hours before doing that. But a laying queen is much easier to accept than a mated caged queen. So just kind of an important differentiation there. And let's see, we got, what should I do if my bees abscond? Absconding isn't really so much associated with the installation of new packages or nukes. But, you know, if they abscond, you know, you kind of want to try and find out why. So is it a ventilation issue? Is it a pest? Is there some other kind of problem going on? You got to do some digging on that one, a little bit of research and some kind of detective work. But absconding really should not be an issue as long as it's a clean, healthy environment. You're using good quality hardware and et cetera. So the next question, my package bees are clustering outside the hive instead of going in. What's wrong? What I would say is that sometimes they don't know where to go, right? So like you have a bunch of bees that, you know, you shook them in, you put the package on the ground. There are some of them that flew out. There are some of them that are in the package. There are some of them that were inside and flew out before you closed everything back up. Some of them walked out the front door, got confused. So there might be some bees that are still outside that have said, oh, I see you. Let's all hang out together. And they just don't really know what to do. There's a couple things you can do. One, you could just leave them, right? They should figure it out on their own. What I would try to do is if you can just grab the cluster, just open the box up before you close it, depending on when you see it. If it's already open, just open the box up or keep the box open, grab the cluster, just drop them in. Alternatively, if you've already closed everything up and you don't want to disturb them again, just grab that cluster and just gently kind of drop them right in front of the entrance and let them go in. They should all go in. You know, by the time you come back in the morning and you look at them the next day, they should all be good to go. Okay, everybody, this has been a whole lot of information. I hope you find it to be useful and valuable. And, you know, feel free to join us over in the Discord room and talk to us. You know, this is a time of year where things usually start to ramp up in the Discord room. Ask questions, talk to your fellow beekeepers. I'm usually online like, I don't know, like 18, 20 hours a day for the most part. If I'm around the house, once the weather gets nicer, it'll be a little different, but You can always message me over there. Check out the YouTube channel. It's just youtube.com/@beekeepingfornewbies, N-E-W-B-E-E-S. I'm really trying to ramp that up a lot. I'm hoping to never go back to work for the man again. So if you can check out some YouTube videos over there, or you can even listen to the podcast over there, and that certainly helps out with watch time. You can hook up a fellow beekeeper there. But share the episode with another friend if you have one, if you want to, you know, keep the word getting out there for everybody. And that's all I've got. If I missed anything, if there are questions you have, feel free to reach out to me directly. Join the Discord room, like I mentioned before. Check out the Beekeeping for Newbies homepage. We're developing our Master Beekeeper program. You can go up there, sign up for the wait list. Anybody on the wait list is going to get the best discount once we do finally release here. And that's all I've got. So take care, be kind to one another, and remember that I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. We'll talk to you soon.
Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it, up to $2,000 in value, for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan, and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone. Which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.